Welcome to Share a Pint, where we tap into the craft beer scene. I'm Jerry Holla, your host.
Today we're talking with Jake Blackman from Smoketown Brewing Station. Thanks for being on the show, Jake.
Thanks for having us.
We met at the Baltimore Craft Beer Festival, where you told me a little bit about the brewery's history. It's a great story. Would you mind sharing it with us?
Yeah, of course. I love telling our story. This building has so much history. It was built in 1948 by the Brunswick Volunteer Fire Department. From then, it functioned as a working volunteer fire department hall from 1948 to 2012. Then it lay vacant for a couple years because it's a huge, beautiful building in the middle of downtown Brunswick. Mm-hmm. No one knew really what to do with the space. And then that's where our story starts. My dad found the building and purchased it in 2014. And then, ironically, his original plan, he used to flip houses, and his original plan was to do architectural salvage. So, you know, basically Home Depot-esque for old antique building parts. And then a buddy of his sent him an article about a brewery in Colorado that had opened in a new fire hall. And I remember coming home from college one day, and he said, "Hey, Jake, what do you think about doing a brewery there instead?" And I was like, "That is an amazing idea. We should definitely do that." And yeah, so ever since late 2014, we started switch gears into the brewery mindset. And then we opened 2016, April 2016, and we've been open here ever since then.
Awesome. That's great. Tell me about the name.
Yeah, so Smoketown Brewing Station is a little play on both some town history and then also the building history. Mm-hmm. So the brewing station comes apart, you know, from the fire station. Mm-hmm. But then Smoketown actually was a nickname for the town of Brunswick because back in its railroad heyday, there would be so many trains coming through town that a layer of smoke would sit on the town. Since we're in a valley, uh-huh. You know, if you're looking from the tracks, it looks like a smoke town. Gotcha. So yeah, that's where our name comes from.
Okay, great. I noticed that you've incorporated some of your history into the names of many of your beers, like the Patsy that I'm enjoying. Yep. Tell me a story about this one.
So the Patsy is one of our favorite stories to tell. Back when it was functioning as a fire station, they were all volunteer and it was all self-funded. So the way that they would raise those funds for themselves was to throw events. So our whole upstairs space, which we have 8,000 square feet upstairs as well as the 8,000 down here, that was all used for events for fundraising. And some of their most famous events were concerts. Mm-hmm. So we've had some amazing acts come through here. Roy Clark, Jimmy Dean, Bob Seger, Duke Ellington, and then of course one of our favorites is Patsy Cline. He used to sing upstairs. So we named this beer in honor of Patsy Cline and her many concerts upstairs. And then actually when we decided to put that beer into cans, we also designed the can with Patsy Cline in mind. And the design of the can itself is designed off of one of her concert posters.
Okay.
But yeah, a lot of our beers actually have stories. The beer that I'm drinking as well, which is our German Crossing Hefeweizen.
Okay.
So German Crossing was actually the name of the ferry that before that bridge, which you can see in the distance there, mm-hmm. that carried people from Maryland to Virginia mm-hmm. over the Potomac River. Before that bridge, they had a ferry. And the name of that ferry was the German Crossing Ferry. So yeah, almost all of our beers have a unique story that goes on top of their just, you know, delicious taste, but also a really awesome, rich history as well.
Awesome. Well, maybe tell me about a couple more of the,
yeah,
the flagship
sure.
beers.
A lot of our flagships are tied into town history. Like, for instance, the Berlin Brown Ale. Mm-hmm. The Berlin Brown Ale is named Berlin, not because it's a German-style mm-hmm. beer, but because before Brunswick, this town was also known as Berlin, Maryland. And it was started as Berlin, Maryland until they came out with zip codes, and they realized that they were two Berlin, Marylands with two different zip codes here in Brunswick and then also on the Eastern Shore. Mm-hmm. And so they said, "Hey, one of you guys got to change your name." And somehow we lost out on that battle and we became Brunswick. But yeah, the Berlin Brown pays tribute to our town history there, as well as the Potomac IPA, which is rather obvious, mm-hmm. the Potomac River being there. And then we have some fun ones like the Rock the Red Raspberry Wheat, which we happen to be brewing right as the Caps won their first Stanley Cup. So we did that in tribute to them. Another beer with a great story, which ties into upstairs as well, which I'll talk about when we tour up there. But it's our Walter's Spirit, which is a bourbon barrel-aged Baltic porter. We came out with that about 3 years ago, but that's become one of our staples as well and one of our fan favorites. We age it for 4 to 6 months, sometimes even more, in these bourbon barrels right here. But the name actually comes from our resident ghost, which is Walter Rice. So Walter, actually, he was the engineer for the building. So he was actually the only person that was lived here full time. He didn't have any direct family, so he actually stayed in that room right there in the corner of us. And he lived here full time, and he passed away in his room here in his sleep peacefully in the 60s. And ever since then, there's been reports that he's never left. And ironically enough, when we first moved in here, you know, we got a lot of these stories from the firemen themselves about Walter. But nobody ever told me about it. And the first day that we ever opened, I went upstairs to shut the lights off, the master switch. And when I did, I saw the figure of a man standing in front of the doorway and really took me aback. Of course, I blinked and it was gone. It was like just only there for a flash. But I was definitely freaked out. And I went downstairs and I blamed it on the fact that I just worked 14 hours of our opening day. So I said, you know what, I'm just tuckered out. I don't think about it too long. But then I must have looked like I'd seen a ghost because my dad said, did you see something up there? And I was like, yeah, I did actually. And he said, was it Walter? And immediately I was like, uh-oh. And he pulled up a picture for me a couple days later, which we actually have now on the bar. Of Walter, and I knew immediately, you know, I mean, the hair stand up on the back of my neck because I knew that was the guy that I'd seen, that was Walter. And since then, you know, everyone that's worked here, almost every single person has had a Walter experience, whether it's voices, knocking, footsteps, stuff like that. But most of the time, it's completely, you wouldn't even realize it's a ghost. We think that somebody walked in because, you know, they thought that we were open, but we weren't quite yet, and we go there to go tell them that we're not open yet and nobody's there and the doors are locked. So yeah, we named our beer after good old Walter. But yeah, all of our beers have stories to them. So when you're drinking it, there's a story behind it, behind the name.
That's awesome. I mean, share with me some of the other ways that you embrace the history of this place and how you've incorporated it in the brewery. We've talked about the names of the beers, and you know, what are some other ways that you try to really preserve this history and showcase it?
Yeah, well, like I mentioned before, my dad was actually, his profession before was flipping houses. Mm-hmm. So he has a really keen eye for keeping history alive mm-hmm. in a place, but then also giving a new breath of life to it, which I think is evident with the actual space around here. We kept almost everything original. The floor is original. In fact, in the corner of the bar, you can actually see company number 5, which is the volunteer fire department company number. It's still etched onto the tile there. This is the original tile floor that we where they used to wash the trucks. And then also, we, you know, a lot of the things that we have, like for instance, when I met you at the Baltimore Craft Beer Fest, the Jockey Box cover that we use came from the wood from the stage upstairs.
Oh, wow.
So we did a lot of refurbishing of upstairs, and so we used a lot of that reclaimed materials to you know, give new life to some of our equipment and stuff. So.
Okay. And I also saw on the website there was a picture of a little fire engine that had some tasters in it.
Yes. We do a holiday taster, which is actually coming out very soon. It's called A Flight of Misfit Stouts, uh-huh. Which is when we like to unroll our fire truck flight. And yeah, that one is a huge hit. It consists of 4 specialty winter stouts. We have the peppermint stout. We have a gingerbread stout. We have the chocolate milk stout, and then one of our fan favorites is our habanero stout, which has slowly become a very popular stout that we have.
Okay, that's great. So is it mostly what you were talking about with your dad about why it's important for you to honor the history here in so many different ways?
Yeah, yeah. When we were trying to figure out, you know, what to do with the building, you know, if we wanted to open a brewery, we could have done it anywhere in a place that was already well established, where there's a lot of foot traffic and stuff. But for us, we've been in Brunswick since 2001, so, you know, as long as I can remember, basically. And I think it's the longest my parents have ever stayed in one place. And my mom's a school teacher here. So for us, it was really important to keep, you know, some of Brunswick's history alive and highlight that in here. And we bring a lot of tourism into the town because beer is one of those unique things where even if you are an hour or 2 hours away and you haven't been to a brewery, you might want to make that trek over just to try some beer. So that's why it was important to us that when we opened up, we got to showcase a lot of the town history, our history, and you know, even our decor on our walls, they're all refurbished, repurposed history. So, for instance, those right there, they actually came off a building in D.C. From the 50s, which is why it's very art. Deco-esque.
Yeah.
And then even our brew house, the doors, they came off an old barn in West Virginia. So,
oh, wow. That's pretty cool. Are there other ways that you are trying to be connected to community? Obviously, you said you guys have spent a lot of time here. You kind of have some roots here. So you're obviously connected to the community and invested in it. Are there things that you guys do to kind of build that relationship or further relationship?
Yeah, well, we ourselves have become sort of a community meeting area.
Yeah.
Just, you know, being a wide open space, we're family friendly, so a lot of people like to come hang out. But then also we like to give back to the community. We try to do as many fundraisers and help out the community that way, as well as we're in the middle of refurbishing the upstairs to make that an event space again. You know, so that's a big thing for us is, you know, that will kind of breathe a new life into the building. So not just downstairs, but redecorating upstairs. And a lot of the town members that we've met were really excited for that because they used to do so many things upstairs. There's so much history. There's so many pictures. You know, when I was growing up, they did Sunday pancake dinners. They did bingo. So, you know, it really is a community hall upstairs. And so we're excited that, you know, to breathe new life into that and into the town.
Anything else in particular that you want to kind of showcase about that once we go up and kind of look at it?
Yeah, well, I think honestly, seeing it with your own eyes really does a lot. It speaks for itself. It's a beautiful open area. It's 8,000 square feet, wide open. There's the stage. All of that is original. Everything that you'll see up there is original. And yeah, I mean, honestly, it really speaks for itself. I'd like to say that as you're looking at it, imagine all the amazing acts that have played on that stage. And yeah, we're excited to bring that back.
What's the timeline on that?
It's hard to say.
Okay.
There's a lot of things, a lot of hurdles for us to jump through and stuff.
Okay.
Which is its own story. We could make a podcast, whole episode on just that.
Gotcha.
But we are hoping, if everything goes as planned, sometime in the next year to be open and doing events there.
Okay.
So
that's great. That's great. Well, we've learned about the brewery and quite a lot of neat stories and things. Let's get to know you a little bit better. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your role in the brewery?
So My official title is Director of Operations, but that was a title I kind of gave myself as Jack of All Trades. Really, there's four of us that work here full time, as well as my family, and we all pitch in a lot to do a lot of things. So I myself, I help out a lot with day-to-day operations, as well as all of our sales stuff. So that means local sales as well as distribution. We're actually in Northern Virginia as well, which has been really fun to do. And then I also do all of the not so fun stuff. So, you know, the tax work and, and the HR stuff. And yeah, so I do a little bit of everything, but my whole family pitches in. My little brother works here during the weekends. My mom basically has run this Brunswick location by herself since we just opened our second location in Frederick. And then, of course, my dad is the mastermind behind everything.
So tell me a little bit about that, how that came about, the expansion, so to speak, into the Frederick.
So for a little bit, we've been looking at a second location just because we had a lot of people say, oh, we love your beer, we love your story, but Brunswick is so far away, right? And a lot of those people were from Brunswick, or I mean from Frederick. Frederick has a huge craft beer town. We're actually, they have the most breweries per capita of any other place in Maryland, which is a really cool fact. But yeah, so we had a lot of fans that said, hey, we wish you guys were closer, you know. And so my dad started thinking, hey, how do we make that happen? And so we started looking around, and we found this space that we were in. And honestly, it was beautiful. We had a vision as soon as we walked in. It's much like here, where it's this big open space, old brick building that used to be, you know, dozens and dozens of years ago. It was a t-shirt manufacturing facility in the early century, and it's right off Carroll Creek. It's beautiful, and honestly, one of the best parts, which is maybe surprising to people that aren't in the industry, is that we're actually neighbored by two other breweries. Brewing is very cooperative, so it actually is amazing that we're surrounded by such great company, because you can make a whole weekend of just visiting us three. We're all, you know, within 100 feet of each other. So yeah, that started early this year. And we've put a lot of work into it this year, and we just opened. We had our grand last week was our grand opening. But we've been open for a little bit over a month there. And yeah.
How are you able to keep your brand intact? I mean, obviously this has history and tradition. How are you keeping that brand in your expanded site?
Right. So we actually, I think we did a very good job of doing that. We wanted to keep the same feel here. It's different. It was definitely a challenge because the building here really speaks for itself. The history speaks for itself. You know, you take one look in here and you can imagine, you know, this is an old building and all the history that it's had. But we wanted to keep that brand in Frederick. So a lot of the decor and the theme in Frederick mirrors here, but also it has a new take. So it's different, but the same. So for instance, our bar in both places is refurbished old bowling alley. Two separate locations, two different bowling alleys, but the same vibe. We like the stainless steel industrial age look. And so that brand really carries out into Frederick. But, you know, you come here, you come to Frederick, they're two different distinct experiences that you have in both locations. So,
So you touched on it a little bit, but how did you get started in the craft beer industry?
So that's a funny story in itself, too. So, of course, when my dad approached me while I was in college, if I wanted, you know, if I was interested in this new vision of a brewery, and of course I was. So I was the first person to pour the first beer here when we opened in April of 2016. And for a while, I would say probably a little bit over a year, I was just a bartender. And of course, it was a family affair. But yeah, so I was mainly just a bartender. I was going to college full time as well. And so my plan, I went to college for cellular biology and molecular genetics.
Wow.
Yeah. So my original trajectory after college I was working in a lab during college, and I wanted to kind of continue that field work. And then, you know, slightly looking to the biotech industry, stuff like that. And I was actually on track to graduate a semester early. And so my dad said, hey, what do you think about if you graduate, if you work here for 4 months, I really need somebody to run this bar, and I trust you to do it. So I said, hey, you know what? That's okay. I think I can put off the big, you know, career jump for a few months. I'm totally fine with that. That sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. So I started working here as the bar manager. Got a little promotion. And then those 4 months rolled by, and I was like, this is really something that I want to do. And honestly, you know, towards the end of college, I actually was realizing how more and more I was interested in this industry and in business in general. So I actually added a business minor to my degree because I'm like, hey, that's some good practical skills. So I started taking classes from anything from management to marketing to HR and stuff. So I really got a nice little repertoire of skills from doing that, which thankfully I did that because now fast forward to today, I do a little bit of everything. And I realized when I was kind of at this crossroads of like, do I want to pursue my planned career that I've been planning for a few years, or do I want to jump into this family business that is probably the most exciting industry somebody about my age could get into. And I decided, you know, hey, I'm going to do this brewery thing. I have a lot of fun. There's never a day that I come into work and I say I'm bored. You know, there's always something to do, always something fun. And I did that with keeping in mind that I could always go back later and you know, touch back on my original career path idea. But, you know, 2.5 years later, I haven't looked back. I haven't had a second thought. This is the career that I want to do, and I love it.
That's great. Really saying, I'm sure there's challenges, but there's probably never a bad day in a brewery.
Exactly. Yes. There's a lot of crazy things that people don't realize having behind the scenes that when you hear, oh, it must be so much fun to run a brewery. Yes. But, you know.
Which is a great segue. So tell me maybe about, you know, a couple of your biggest challenges or things like that, like you said, that people might not realize and understand.
Right. Well, I think honestly the biggest challenge for us, we had a couple snags because one, we're in a very quiet town. So we were thinking, you know, where are some ways to bring people into Brunswick? Another thing about Brunswick is its beautiful location. You know, you can see Potomac River from here. You can see folks riding on the C&O Canal. And that scenic view right there is bustling in July. Now you can see right now it's much quieter being mid-November. So for us, it was huge to try to find there's this big lull in the season. So how do we bridge that gap between summer and summer, and especially in a quiet town like this? So we came up with the idea of let's bring the packaged goods, so cans, our canned beer. We know people love the beer. Let's bring it to them so that they only have to drive 5 or 10 miles to their nearest liquor store to drink a smoked town beer, which is awesome. We're actually... you can see right behind us, we just purchased our own canning line. We've been scaling up our canning a lot, but that in itself comes with new challenges. You know, most people don't realize how expensive it is to actually operate a canning program, because for the longest time, you don't want to make such a huge purchase as to purchase a canning line without really testing the market. But to do that, you basically have to rent somebody else's canning line. Which really cuts into the bottom line. I think that's the number one thing that people don't realize is, you know, from start in the brew kettle to finish in a can, how much labor that goes into that, how much work, and how each one of those steps really cuts into the price that you finally get when you're checking out at the liquor store.
Gotcha. No, yeah. That is great, because again, if you can't get here yourself to enjoy the beer and you want to enjoy it somewhere else.
Exactly. Bring the beer to you guys.
A lot of people aren't really thinking about what goes into that and, you know, hey, why can't I get this beer such from such a place? And
yes.
So that's interesting to hear what kind of challenges you guys have to look at and how you've been careful about making the steps to not jump into it too soon.
It was definitely interesting for us scaling up with that, because that was, you know, luckily we did it at a pace that we could, you know, keep up with ourselves. But, you know, it started with a couple local restaurants. In Maryland, we're really lucky that it's a state that you can self-distribute. Mm-hmm. So we have a wholesaler's license so that I can go down to a local store and say, hey, do you guys want to sell our six packs? Hey, do you want to have our kegs on tap at a restaurant? And so it started with just that, and we do it on our free time. We'd go to restaurants that we love to eat at. Mm-hmm. And then slowly but surely, we had more and more and more accounts. And actually, that was how I started becoming a jack of all trades, is because I was running the bar and our, you know, some of our marketing stuff. But then I also was doing deliveries on my days off to some restaurants and stuff. And yeah, that scaled up pretty fast. So we had a point where we're like, this is a whole other person. You know, this is a whole other job that we can't really handle. So that took us into the big leap of distribution, mm-hmm. and working with distributors. And our distributor hits all of the westernmost counties in Maryland, which that took off the plate of all of our local stuff. But yeah, it's definitely very interesting. You know, each big step that you take in getting your beer into the mouths of your fans is lots of challenges and lots of fun.
That's awesome. So how did you stay committed through some of the tough times and challenges that you've talked about?
Well, my dad is definitely my biggest role model, and we're lucky that he's the big boss man here, because you know, my whole life, going even way before we were in a business together, giving up was never really an option. Mm-hmm. So whenever we hit snafus here, we know that this needs to happen. We can't say, oops, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So we all work together, put our heads together to make sure our goal happens, whatever way we can do it. Sometimes it's a little bit more stressful than others, but we always find a way. Myself, my dad, Greg's our brewer, and Drew is our front of the house manager, and together we all always find a solution.
Well, Jake, I want to thank you for your time and for sharing a pint with me.
Of course. Glad to be here.
Show notes for this episode are available at shareapintpodcast.com. Music for the show, Groundwork, provided by Kevin McLeod, and can be found online at incompetech.com. Share a Pint is made possible by help from the Community Media Center of Carroll County. Associated with the craft beer industry and have an interesting story you'd like to share on a future episode? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at shareapintpodcast.com or email us at jerry@shareapintpodcast.com. Until the next time we share a pint, I'm Jerry Hulla. Prost.